I want to start by talking about the past few weeks with allegations of sexual assault reemerging against Bill Cosby. Many of us have been reminded he isn't the affable Cliff Huxtable he played on TV. More than a dozen women have come forward accusing Cosby of raping them since the 1980s. Last week, Barbara Bowman wrote an op-ed published in the Washington Post detailing her experience. And while Bowman has done several national television interviews, since her piece has ran, Bill Cosby has done just one national interview, not on TV, but with NPR's Scott Simon. Here's an excerpt of that.
This question gives me no pleasure, Mr. Cosby, but there have been serious allegations raised about you in recent days. You're shaking your head no. I'm in the news business. I have to ask the question. Do you have any response to those charges? Shaking your head no. There are people who love you who might like to hear from you about this. I want to give you the chance. All right.
That was how the interview, which was about an African-American art donation Cosby and his wife Camilla made to the Smithsonian, had ended. The morning after, Simon appeared on CNN and talked about what it was like to pose these questions and to do it in front of Bill Cosby's wife.
I have to tell you, when I asked that question of Mr. Cosby, I wanted to pointedly make it of Mr. Cosby and not Mr. and Mrs. Cosby. And therefore, I pointedly looked at him. I did not look at Mrs. Cosby. I don't mind saying I might have been a little uncomfortable to do that anyway, but I did not look at her.
Did Bill Cosby say anything after the interview? You know, the million-dollar question out there is, it's pretty simple to deny an allegation if it's not true. Why didn't he just say, I didn't do it?
I don't know. I almost said you'll have to ask Mr. Cosby why he didn't say it, but I think we've established that might not be possible. You know, anything that happened after the interview, I think I consider off the record, but I don't want to be dramatic about that. There was nothing sensational. There was nothing discourteous. We got out of there very quickly. I'm sure to everybody's mutual relief.
Soon after that interview, Bill Cosby issued a statement through his attorney that he wouldn't be addressing or dignifying, in his words, any of these allegations or making any comment. Let me ask you, did Scott Simon do the right thing in his line of questioning?
Oh, yes, I think he did the right thing. I mean, there's no way that he could not have asked that question. Having him on the air talking about another topic does not automatically mean that he can't address something that's out in the national media, out in the blogosphere, out in Twitter world. And what I find very interesting is that, you know, Cosby didn't say anything. That's unusual. Usually they'll say no comment or something like that. I mean, he didn't speak at all.
So by not speaking at all, do you think he was trying to take advantage of the fact that this was a radio interview and he thought perhaps if he just shook his head that Scott Simon wouldn't have intuitively started saying you're shaking your head, that kicking into that narration and making the response
clear?
In fact,
Scott Simon talked about that very point in the CNN interview. He said maybe he thought that we wouldn't use silence on the radio. And I thought Simon did a very good job of trying to illustrate what was really going on there. I mean, some people, I suppose, thought maybe he went too easy on Cosby because his wife was there or whatever, but I thought he handled it just right. He didn't have to say the word rape to make it clear to everybody exactly what he was talking about. And I think the fact that he was so deferential and respectful actually had more impact, especially when I think Cosby miscalculated in deciding how he was going to respond to it.
Yeah, there was no need for Scott Simon to be confrontational there. Because the story speaks for itself, and for him not to comment in any way, to have this silence, made it even more damaging to any kind of case that he might want to bring in the future.
So one of the things we've seen in a lot of the coverage of this weekend interview, so separating the Cosby story from the story of this interview itself, were that a lot of the headlines had read that Scott Simon asked Cosby about the rape. That's not really what happened here, is it?
Well, he didn't have to, though. I mean, he just said the allegations, and I think anybody either would know the context or clearly in the reporting after the fact would get the context. So it wasn't as if he was being unclear what he was asking about. I mean, I just think that he could have used that word, but with the wife sitting right across from him, I think maybe the tone was just exactly right, and it led to all the follow-on coverage that we've seen that's been more aggressive and more specific.
So tone in some of the other coverage of this story, bigger picture. One thing that unfortunately we don't have an audio clip for you to hear right now, Don Lemon, in an interview on CNN last night on Tuesday evening, interviewing another one of the accusers, asked a pretty pointed question that today has a lot of people critical of him. Mike, do you want to talk about what happened there?
Last night, in interviewing one of the alleged victims, he posed the question to her when she said that Cosby had forced oral sex on her. Why she didn't bite him? Did she think about biting him as a way to get out of this situation? And it seemed so vulgar and inappropriate that I think everybody was kind of taken aback for a bit.
And now, including the woman herself. Her response was a very shell-shocked, no, hadn't even considered that in the moment, wanted to get myself out of there.
And frankly, I kind of liked the one of the memes that folks on, everybody should just laugh about how the stupid question. On the Huffington Post, there were readers saying, well, this is kind of like saying, if Shamu doesn't like SeaWorld, why does Shamu keep working there? You know, and just, it's just ridiculous, ludicrous that he would even go to that kind of comparison or that kind of question.
But I think to me, it draws into this larger problem of anchors, especially on cable news outlets where they have these shows like this, sort of them being the story by their questioning, the way they question, the type of questions they ask, the responses that they're hoping to get. All of a sudden, they become part of the story. They can become a hashtag or they can become a YouTube video. And it's not about the actual issue that the people are there to discuss to begin with.
I have to say I'm a little bit concerned. You're going to talk about double standards in another story here in a little bit, but I was also a little bit concerned about the double standard here because we've had, 14 women that have accused Cosby over the years of this, and this story really hasn't resonated much, and it certainly didn't get a lot of attention recently until another comedian, a man, Hannibal Buress, he is fabulously funny, and he's also an African-American man, but he called out Cosby in one of his routines. That went viral on the internet before the victim came forward and wrote about it in the Washington Post. So why did it take another comedian and a man to bring this out before people would take this serious?
Well, I was wondering the same thing, and so I started going back and just looking at all of the coverage that we've had about sexual assault on college campuses, in NFL, and all manners of public life in the last 6 months. And I think that this story sort of became one of the parts of that entire narrative. So now you've got a revered figure in the minds of the public who was called out by another one of his fellow comedians on an issue that has resonated with the public over the course of the last half year.
Well, and if you'll pardon my use of the term late breaking, just as we were coming into the studio to record today's program, word coming down from NBC that it has decided to shelve the sitcom that was in development starring Bill Cosby for the fall.
And Netflix, which was going to run a comedy special with Cosby, has postponed that too. So it is having some impact. But I must say, I mean, it's a tough hurdle for these alleged victims to climb because I think most people just don't want to see Bill Cosby as someone who's can be both a beloved actor and a comedian and a philanthropist and potentially a rapist. I mean, and you have these women, you know, say, well, why has it taken so long for them to come forward with these stories? Look at the pedophile priest scandal in the Catholic Church. Right. If you're victimized when you're young, it might take a really long time to be able to come to grips with that and find a way to communicate your pain effectively.
Well, but I also think that the problem for the victims is how long is this story going to have legs? Mm-hmm. Because as we all know, because we've been in the media and we criticize the media, it can. Not have the legs that people think it has. And it will take a while for them to get whatever kind of justice is possible. And for a lot of these women, the statute of limitations is already passed.
Statute of limitations has already passed, or there have been confidentiality agreements that have been signed that settlements have already been reached on the civil side.
Yeah, it's already having an impact on his legacy. Mm-hmm. But putting on my historian's cap, what is that going to mean after he's passed? Because we all know that there have been others who have had sort of great, great pass, shady pass. And then once history takes over, some of that negativity is sort of washed away and the hero status sort of befalls on.
And don't you think it says something about the fact that in the past, Cosby and others have been really good at managing the media and what said?
Oh, yes.
And that is, those strategies don't work today.
And no, they don't. And he's been very good at tamping this down. But I think with social media and what can happen when that gets out into the larger sphere, it's hard to control all of that because you can try to control one aspect of it, but then something else pops up.